Well, hey, again, I just want to welcome you to Mile City Online and just want to thank you for allowing us to be in your home. And if this is the first time that this has happened, we hope it sure won't be your last time. We want to give you this little challenge to keep this rhythm up over the next 3 weeks, because we truly believe if you allow this experience, the local church, to be a part of your weekly rhythm, and we're all in new rhythms right now, we truly believe it will bring great hope, it'll bring great purpose and direction to your entire family. That's what this community is all about. And so if you're watching alone or if you're watching with your entire family. And speaking of families, you know, maybe there's kids watching right now. And for all you kids, if you can hear me, we have something right after my talk designed especially for you with our Kids City crew. So hang on there and just hang in there with me until the end of my talk. Now, at Mile City, we strive to be a generous church, to be a church that is about investing in our community and meeting the needs of our community, to see a need, to meet a need. And now more than ever, our generosity is so important. And so I just want to encourage you that if you have not switched to online giving, that you would follow the instructions on the screen or in the chat to help guide you to set up online giving. Maybe you're watching this and you've never given at Mile City before, and you're thinking about with everything that's going on, you want to help, but you're just not quite sure. Mile City can be a place to help do that. You don't just give to a church, you give through the church so that the church can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so this will truly help us estimate what we can do as the needs continue to arise. And so thank you for your continued generosity here at Mile City as we strive to be the church. So before I dive into my talk, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for me and our time, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and the technology that we have to just gather in a new way. Father, I just ask that you would help us to tune in distraction-free to hear from you, and that we not only would just hear from you, but that we would apply it and let it affect our lives. I ask that you would control my mind as I communicate and as I give this talk. Thank you again for the privilege it is to do so. And I just pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, right now we are in this series called Run, which is the idea of what are you running to in your life? Like, what is the direction of your life? What is your purpose? What do you run to in life? And we've been looking at that through the lens of a man named Moses, who most of his life we see written in the book of Exodus, this ancient book of Exodus. He lived around 1400 BC. And what we've been doing is we've been making parallels. And it's kind of crazy to see the parallels back in that era into the era that we live in now. Last week, we talked about this idea of instead of running to fear, that we would be people that would run to faith. Instead of running to fear, that we would be people that would run to faith with all that we had. And if you missed last week, I really want to encourage you to go to our talks on our website and view that last talk, because we talked about three different ways to reduce fear in our lives. Instead of running to fear, running to faith. Now, today, we're going to talk about rules. Rules. Don't you just love rules? I mean, there's rules for everything, isn't there? There's rules for driving. There's rules for being in school. There's rules when you're on the ball field. There's rules in your house. Like right now, all of you guys have your house rules. You have house rules through the screen. And in these house rules, right now, I can almost feel the tension, like the moanings and the groanings from all the kids and the teens that are watching, thinking, oh man, I'm so tired and frustrated of these house rules as we're cooped up and during the week. I'm so frustrated by these rules, and they're just starting to drive me crazy. And for all of you kids or teens that are hearing that and feeling that way, let me just speak on behalf of all the parents right now. Deal with it, okay? Get over it. And if you're not careful, you're going to drive us crazy, and you're not only going to be quarantined in the house, we're going to quarantine you in your room with no screen time. Did he just say no screen time? Yes, I said no screen time, okay? I just had to kind of vent that. It's just been like a new rhythm, right, that we're all trying to figure out in our lives this week with everyone being at home. Rules. Rules, rules, rules. Now, there's some of you that are rule breakers, and there's others of you that are rule followers. And when you are dealing with this, you know, corona crisis right now, it's really frustrating for you because, you kind of really don't know exactly what all the rules are in this situation. It kind of leaves you in a little bit of a guessing game. Like, okay, is it exactly 6 feet away that I'm supposed to be apart? Or if I get takeout, is that still safe? Or the people that have been handling the food are like, what if I have 11 people at my house? Is that going to be okay? Or am I still allowed to make out with my spouse? Yes! Of course you can. Of course you can still make out with your spouse. All the guys in the room, in the living room, you're welcome. That was for you. Rules, rules, rules. Now, there's also rules when it comes to faith, isn't there? And what does that look like for our lives? And a lot of times, it can make us feel the same way of guessing, okay, are these the right set of rules I should be following? Am I okay with God because of the rules that I'm following? Depending on the upbringing that you grew up in and in your different faith, there's different types of rules for different faiths. There's different amounts of rules. And then it just kind of leaves you unsure and you're wondering. And then because of those thoughts of these rules and faith and religion, it kind of makes us view faith and rules and religion kind of like the way that I view one of these things. Complicated. I mean, when I look at a Rubik's Cube and I think of trying to solve a Rubik's Cube, I remember driving me nuts as a kid. I mean, it would hurt my brain. I'd get so frustrated. I just want to chuck it across the room. And then finally, I just couldn't solve it. So I just kind of put it on the shelf and just be like, forget it. And in a very similar way for some of you, when it comes to faith and God and rules, that's kind of how you felt. So much so that you wanted to just chuck your faith right out the window. Or you just kind of said, well, forget it. I can't figure this out. So you just put faith right on the shelf and you just kept living your life. But then in different seasons, and maybe even a season right now in your life, you're kind of picking up the idea of faith again and you're wondering, okay, wait, is it really this complicated? Why does it have to be this complicated? And the answer is it's not supposed to be complicated. It's not supposed to look like this. We're supposed to view faith and God and rules kind of like how my friend Jacob views one of these. So I want to invite my friend Jacob Mack up to the stage. Let's give it up for Jacob Mack. Come on, man. How you doing?
Good. Are you?
Okay. How old are you, Jacob?
13.
13. So 7th grade?
Yep. 7th grade.
Did you hang out at the student drive online?
Yeah.
Was it pretty awesome?
Yep.
Would you like recommend everyone
awesome.
Else to like check that out?
Definitely. I hung out with V in Houston and we just talked about what's going on lately with the like.
Yeah.
Everything going on.
Okay, well, that's awesome. So now we're talking about, now when I look at this Rubik's Cube, I think complicated, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, do you view it as complicated?
No, I see it as a puzzle that needs to be solved and there are steps to solve it and it's simple.
It's simple, huh?
Simple.
You think it's simple?
Simple.
All right, hotshot. I want you to step right up here, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a little challenge, okay? We're going to have a little competition on who can solve the Rubik's Cube the fastest, the quickest, okay? And if you're making bets, I bet on Jacob, okay? All right, now let me make sure, I want to make sure that this is really, like, I don't want you, like, cheating on me or anything, okay? Since you're, like, the Rubik's Cube master over here, okay? Okay. There you go. Make sure you sanitize that. You know, I touched it, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
On your mark, get set, go. I'm not doing really good, Jacob, okay? This is kind of driving me nuts. You know what? Just get right there. Side, flip it through.
Done.
Are you kidding me?
You were close, I
mean. Unbelievable. Well, hey.
Still there.
Still, yeah, not
still
too
not,
good.
Not very
well, hey,
good.
Man. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for
and thanks
me.
For, like, showing us everything. Hey, let's all give it up for Jacob. Come on, give it up. Give it up for Jacob. I know you can't hear anyone clapping right now,
nope.
But hey, they are just, they're on the chat right now. They're just putting hearts like no other right now for you. It's like, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. All right, man, we'll see you. Elbow out of here. Awesome. Well, listen, again, this idea of when it comes to rules, when it comes to faith, it's supposed to be simple. It's not supposed to be complicated. And so what does that look like for us to look at rules and faith in God as simple and not complicated? Well, let's get back to Moses. Last week, we left off where God raised up Moses to be the leader of the Israelite nation. And he led the people out of slavery. They were in slavery for 400 years over, with the Pharaoh dominating them. And God led them out of Egypt. And then after that, we got to the point where they were in a dead end at the Red Sea. And God told Moses to put his staff down in the Red Sea. And when he did, it parted the Red Sea. It gave them a path. It gave them a way to deliver them from the danger. Which, man, reminds me today. It reminds me today that we have the same God who can part the Red Sea and deliver us from danger is the same God that we worship today. And so now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. And what do you do from there? What do you do on the other side of the Red Sea? They're supposed to go into the Promised Land. They're supposed to be guided into the Promised Land, but they're going through a desert. And as you go through the desert, you need drink. You need food. And so they start to complain to Moses, "We're thirsty. We're thirsty. We need something to drink." And so God goes and says, I'm going to turn this water that is bitter, and I'm going to make it so they can drink. And so this miracle happens. And you can read this in the book of Exodus. And they had water. But then after that, they started to, their bellies started to ache, and they were, we're hungry, we need food, we need bread, we need meat. And they start to complain to Moses, "Maybe you should have just put us back in Egypt. Maybe we should have just stayed in Egypt, because at least we could eat there." And they keep complaining and complaining and complaining. And so God says to Moses, "Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to listen to me." And here's where we pick up here in Exodus chapter 15. He says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Here's what I'm going to do. I will rain down bread from heaven for you.'" Come again? Yeah, "I'm going to rain down bread from heaven to you." Wait, you're going to rain down bread from heaven? Trust me, Moses, trust me. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. So for over a month, what's going to happen is I'm going to rain down bread, manna they would call it, bread. And every morning they're going to grab what they need for their families, and it will be just enough for them. And if they try to hoard it or put it in their refrigerators in their tents or whatever, they, you know, if you hoard it, the next day any of that extra food, it will be rotten. It will be, there'll be maggots all over it. And so this is what happened. And for over a month's time, God daily would give them their meals, would give them their bread, showing them, "Hey, trust me. Trust me." Which is a great reminder for us in today's day that, "Hey, trust me. Trust me to be your provider. Trust me." It's the great reminder that God may not give you exactly what you want, but he will always give you exactly what you need. God will not give us exactly what we want all the time. And a lot of us don't want what's happening right now. But through this, through what we're going through, he will give you, he will give us exactly what we need. Trust me. Lean into me. And trust me. We're not going to be people that are going to be hoarders during this time. No. We'll be people that are helpers. We're not going to be people that are just takers, take. But no, we'll be people that are givers. Not to be closed-handed, but to be open-handed. And so 2 months now has gone past since Moses and the Israelites left Egypt, and now they approach this mountain called Sinai. And on this mountain, Moses would go up on the mountaintop and spend time with God, and God would speak to him while the Israelite nation was down in the valley. And one day when Moses was up on this mountain, God gave him 10 rules. God spoke to him and gave him 10 rules, which we know to be the 10 commandments. One of the oldest set of laws that we know of in all literature, like Christian literature, Islam literature, Jewish literature, have these rules in their books. And this literature is something, when we think about the 10 commandments, what's funny about the 10 commandments is a lot of us know of the 10 commandments. But if we're honest, we probably really couldn't name maybe more than two, or if we're lucky, maybe three, like don't commit adultery, don't steal, and then after that we start making stuff up and then, you know, taking things out of context, and we don't really know. A lot of us are like, okay, like where are the Ten Commandments? And maybe this was worth you tuning in. Where are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments you can find in the book of Exodus chapter 20. You can find the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Now, I don't want to dive into all the Ten Commandments today, but what I want to dive into is the prelude, the very first command. I want to dive into the prelude of the very beginning of the Ten Commandments, because there is a detail in there. that so many times is looked past. And I'll never forget when I understood this detail when it comes to rules in my faith with God, and it just kind of blew me away. It kind of rocked me a little bit. And my hope is that this little detail will rock your faith as well when it comes to faith and rules with God. And so here is what God said in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. He said this: "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" He says, "I am the Lord your God." And they must have been thinking, "Well, wait a minute. We're your people? I mean, how can we say that you are our God? I mean, we've been in slavery for 400 years. I mean, we haven't done anything. Like, what are the rules? Like, what's the catch? Like, what do we have to do on our part?" And he says, no, that's what I'm trying to get at you. It's not about the rules. We'll get to the rules later. It's about establishing a relationship first. It's about establishing a relationship first. I'm trying to get you to understand this idea. Trust me. Trust me. Like when I led you out of Egypt and I was doing all of these miracles and I told you to pack your bags and you're thinking, "We're just going to walk out of here?" Yeah. Trust me. When you got to the Red Sea and you're wondering, "What are we going to do?" Trust me. As you were in the desert, wondering where you're going to get your daily bread, your daily food, trust me. I'm asking you to trust me, giving us this idea, this important idea that it's relationship first, then the rules. Relationship first, then the rules. And then he says this, then he gives the first command, and here's the first command that he says. He says this: "That you shall have no other gods before me." That you shall have no other gods before me. And you're thinking to yourself, well, they must have been thinking, well, duh. I mean, who else are we going to make our God? I mean, you're the one that delivered us. You're the one that rescued us. You're the one that saved us. Of course, we're not going to put any other gods before you. You are the great I am. Of course not. He's just reminding us of this idea again and again, of this thought. It's so important that the Ten Commandments were confirmation of, not a condition of Israel's relationship with God. And I really want you to get this. I really want you to sink this in. This is so important that the Ten Commandments were a confirmation of, not a condition of Israel's relationship with God. It wasn't this, okay, you have to follow these Ten Commandments, these Ten Rules, and then you can be a part of the family. Or, okay, if you only follow the five, then peace out. Get out of here. That's not how it was. God put the rules in after to be a help to us, to be an aid to us, to be a guide for us, not to make our lives miserable. I mean, when the inventor and the creator of the Rubik's Cube, when he made it, he gave the rules and the algorithms to help the Rubik's Cube players be better at doing the Rubik's Cube, just like God has given us the rules to help make us better at life. It's not a condition. The Ten Commandments were confirmation, not a condition of Israel's relationship with God. And then, so then we kind of read through Genesis and you read through Exodus and things are kind of going good and it's exciting. But then you get into Leviticus and we see these 613 laws. And then after that, there's other prophets that come and we see this pattern that happens over and over again, that people were far from God. They were away from God. And then something snapped in them. It was like a wake-up call. And in that wake-up call, then they would ask God and they would want to be led by God. And then after a season, then they would rebel against God. And then God would have to discipline them to lead them back to him. And this pattern kept happening over and over and over again. Sound familiar? Maybe even for you, where you felt so far away from God. And then you're like, "No, God, I need you. I need you. I want to be led by you." But then after time, after you're kind of with him and hanging with him, then you rebel and just kind of go off the deep end. And then God disciplines. And he does it to bring you back to him. And this pattern keeps happening over and over again. But the whole time he's trying to get our attention, to make us understand that before I gave the law, before I gave the rules, I was your people. I am your people. I am your God. Because here's the deal. With God, relationship precedes rules always. always with God. It's been relationship, then the rules. God opts for the family model over the club model. God opts for the family model over the club model. What does that mean? What's the family model? What's the club model? The club model is like you sign up for a gym membership, right? And they give you all the do's and the don'ts, and you have to sign on the dotted line. And then if you start breaking those rules and you don't do what the membership says, then you're out of there. But the family model, all of us were born into our families without the rules. We were all born into our families, and then the rules started to establish within the family, because as we were toddlers, and then we were in elementary, and then in middle school, and then in high school, and then in our college years, the rules were then established. And that's what God is saying. Look, it's relationship first, then the rules. It's relationship first, then the rules. And then, after the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, 1,500 years later, 1,500 years later, and it's hard for us to kind of grasp that in our minds, but Google it. There's so much documented truth of this. 1,500 years later, God sends his one and only son, Jesus, to continue showing us this is the way, this is the model. And it's not only offered to Jews, it's offered to all people, to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus entered the scene, he wasn't coming down demanding that you do A, B, C, D. First, he healed. Then he showed off his power and how he could control nature and the wind and the waves and how he could restore and rescue. And then his message was very, very simple. Trust me. It wasn't complicated. It was simple, and he said, I want you to trust me before you do anything, before the rules come in. We'll get to those later. First, I need you to trust me. One of his closest buddies named John, who ended up taking care of Jesus' mom, Mary, after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, he penned down this truth in John chapter 1, verse 12. He said this, yet to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Yet to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, not behave or do all the rules, but believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God, from the very beginning of time, when it comes to rules in our faith, he's saying, look it. It's not supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to be simple. And so my question for you when it comes to your faith, maybe you've been I can't deal with the complication of faith and the guessing game. And God is calling out to you in this season right now, and he's saying, hey, trust me. Don't run to rules to try to figure out your faith with me, because that's just going to confuse you even more. First, run to relationship to figure out your faith with me, because that's what I'm asking first, for you to trust me. And so, my friends, what are you waiting for? Don't make it complicated. Don't make it confusing. He made it simple. Trust him. Trust him. Let me pray for us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as you're in your living room or wherever you're watching, if you're honest, the idea of trusting God first with your life, it just seems so simple that you've kind of just pushed that away, or you've kind of put that on the shelf. But right now there's something stirring in you, and that stirring that's in you, I'm telling you, it's not by accident. That's God chasing you. He's trying to get your attention, to let you know how much he loves you. 2,000 years ago, he was here, and he died and rose again for you to take care of your sin problem, your disobedience, once and for all. And he wants a real relationship with you. It's not about a religion or a bunch of rules. He wants a real relationship with you. And so I want to give you an opportunity to trust him, to believe in him, and to give him your life. And so in the quietness of this moment, wherever you're at, I just want you to repeat these words in your heart or out loud. Just say, Father, here I am. I'm done with the guessing game. I'm done with making things complicated. And so right now, even though I don't have all the answers, I trust you. I trust you, Jesus, with my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again for me. Right now, I make you, Jesus, the King of my life. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, if you made that decision to trust Jesus with your life for the very first time, one, we just want to say congratulations, and we want to celebrate with you, because I'm sure you have some questions of what's next or what's my next move. And so we want to challenge you right now to not walk alone. And so you can let us know by just texting the word faith move to the number on the screen. And one of our team just can't wait to celebrate you and your decision of your faith move.